Come, let us all unite to sing God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Then every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make. And sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, His Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way, our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God love.
Open your Bibles again to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down by my feet," have you not made then distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. And are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into the court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Grab your songbook again. Let's turn to number 15.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
647. Let's stand again as we sing this song. 647.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts. Strength of Jesus trust, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. Stand then in His great might with all His strength endued, but take to arm you for to every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. They've known all things done, and all your conflicts past. You may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last.
Please be seated. This time we'll have Johnny do James chapter 3.
I'll be reading from the New International Version. Verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Hey, Johnny. Grab your psalm books again. Turn to 991. 991.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening, hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair, in the rust. shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Turn to 162.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Supper, let's sing number 234. Well, we serve the Lord's Supper, and then right after the Lord's Supper, Blake will read James chapter 4.
Worthy is the
excellent opportunity here to gather around the table and remember what Christ did for us. And I'm going to read a passage before we break bread and share the cup this morning. If you'd like to follow along, I'm reading from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Read that passage, I think about something we talked about Wednesday night. A lot of our conversations we have are kind of, they're surface conversations, especially when we deal with spirituality and we're talking to others that don't understand Christ. And in that discussion, kind of reached down and found a way to talk about a story that I've never shared with anyone that we talked about Wednesday night, about my baptism. And it's very personal to me because there's this brief moment at the end where you're raised from the water, and you know that for that moment you're perfect in God's eyes. I mean, no sin whatsoever. And that is, it's just a lifting weight off of you. It's hard to talk about because I've never shared it with anyone, but that's what the power of Jesus is. Can't forget that. Can't forget it at all, and that's why we meet. That's why we break bread. That's why we pass the cup, because his love is never fading. Peter expresses it here. Our inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and it does not fade away. We have a place reserved in heaven. Thankful for that. So I'm going to bow this morning. Father, your love is so amazing. We can't really understand what you're willing to give us. And it's tough to imagine. It's tough to imagine that knowing we don't deserve it, you were willing to give your son. We break bread this morning, we sing praises to you, we read your word, and we do that to honor you, to glory you, because we know that you love us, we know that you have a place for us. We're so thankful for that. As we break bread, we pray that we do it in a way that pleases you. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's bow again. Lord, again, we come before you this morning, thanking you again for that heaven that you've given us, the gift of it. And Lord, as we take of this cup, may we remember the sacrifice that was made to give us that gift, the blood that was shed, and the torment that he endured. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, at this time, separate from the Lord's Supper, we like to just remember the things that you've given us and all the blessings that you've blessed us with, and take this time to give back a portion of what we've earned to go back into your good work. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, when Chris told me that we were reading from the book of James this morning, I was happy because the book of James has always been one of my favorite books, so much so that Sarah thought it was my middle name forever. It's not. And it also made me think back to about 15 years ago, Sean and I were taking a class at Harding called Principles of Biblical Interpretations. A really fun class, a really fun name. And the capstone of that course was a major paper. It was an exegetical paper. And we got to sign up towards the end of it for what we wanted. And I signed up for James chapter 2, 14 through 26. And then the paper moves on to the neighbor next to me, which would be Sean. And I peek over and he signs up for James chapter 3. I'm like, well, that's interesting. We both like the book of James. So I leave class, I go to the library, I spend hours in there scouring through to find my books, and I'm ready to go, and I sit down for my paper, spend a long time on my paper, I'm really feeling good about my paper, I print it off, have it all ready to go, and I pick up my stack of books, and I'm ready to return them to the library. And my roommate, who just happens to be Sean, looks over and goes, "Are you finished with those paper? With your paper?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm about to go to the library." He goes, "I'll take those books back for you." I'm like, "Well, that's awfully nice of him." He walks over, he picks up the books, walks over to his side, sits him down, and he starts writing his paper. That's when I realized that I was Sean's scribe. We're going to be reading chapter 4. "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us.' But he gives us more grace. Therefore it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge.
There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
I hope you're enjoying the reading as we're going through the book of James. And sometimes it's good just to let the Bible speak for itself. And it has very powerful things to say. And I know that several things that are in the book of James are very close to me and things that I can take to heart this morning. And hopefully for you too. I'm enjoying singing with you as well. I know we're down a few this morning, but it still sounds very, very good in here. And despite how it sounds, you know, it's hopefully pleasing to God, and that's as much in how it sounds as where your heart is. And so hopefully your heart is into the singing this morning and the words that you're saying as you're singing the song. So let's keep our hearts in check too. Let's turn to number 83 as we continue.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for
Let's stand up one more time. 490.
Mm-hmm. When peace like a river attends, when sorrow with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the fish shall be sun, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Be seated. Chris is going to read us
James chapter 5.
I'll be reading from the Holman Bible. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth is ruined and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your silver and gold are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You stored up treasure in the last days. Look and pay the pay that you withheld from the workers you reaped. Your field cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the land and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts for the days of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous man. He does not resist you. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers, do not complain about one another, so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now, above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Your yes must be yes, and your no must be no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain and the land produced its fruit. My brothers, if any among you strays from truth and someone turns him back, let him know that whoever turns the sinner away from the error of his way, he will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins.
I don't really have an invitation of sorts this morning, but I feel like what Chris just read at the end of chapter 5 right there is powerful for an invitation. starting in verse 19 again, it says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." In this congregation, we're a family. And so, you know, even though I don't have much of an invitation this morning, I don't really think we need one. I think, you know, at this time, we can, during the next song, if you do have something that is on your heart that you want to share to us, that you've been struggling with, or something you want to share with us that you're thankful to God about that's happening in your life, if you have been thinking of becoming a Christian and are wanting to make that choice, now's a great time to let your family know about these things. And we can pray for you. We can do whatever we need to, whatever you ask. Let's turn, get the song list again. Let's turn to number 705. 705.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
Let's sing one more song, and then who has the announcements this morning? Jenny. Okay, then Johnny will give us the announcements. Number 96. 96. Let's stand. I said one more time before, but we'll do one more time.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your majesty enthroned above? And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God,
be seated.
Good morning. Thank you, Chris, for taking charge of the service. I think Jimmy was originally scheduled to speak this morning, but he had an overnight stay in the hospital last night, so we need to keep him in our prayers. An email came out late last night. He's having some heart issues, so he spent the night in the hospital, so keep him in your prayers. Andrew and Natalie Hayes sent out an update this week, and in it they asked for extra prayers because of the transition to the end of the school year, end of the year, transitioning from this one to the next one. Also, they have a member of their group who has experienced a little bit of culture shock. We've seen the pictures of Cambodia and can understand it's a culture shock. So let's keep them in your prayers. We have, where Jim and I work, where Bessie's going to work in the fall, at Gallatin, we had a guidance counselor and her husband this week. They gave birth to a baby boy, and they knew during the whole duration of the pregnancy that it was going to be very short. It was 50-50 chance of surviving childbirth. The baby, and the baby passed away after about an hour, so there was a service on Friday for that. And just pray for the Lackey family and to see the strength that they outwardly showed at the memorial service on Friday. I don't know how they did it, but just keep them in your prayers. We have our prayer list that in the bulletin that came out last night. Keep in mind Dominique, because he's going through his transition in the Air Force. Talked to James this week, and Brandon, you may be able to help me out. Bickle has an appointment on June 15th. He said that the pea size growth in his lung is now golf ball size, so he still doesn't know what's going on. He's getting better. Getting better with his legs, he can now wake up, shake him out, and he feels pretty good. But still keep him in prayer. Matt, do you have an update on your mom?
Yeah, I had called up the week before Memorial Weekend, and they thought she probably had an hour's delivery. And I called her back and said, yeah, she's probably got hours to live. But got up there, and the quote from the nurse was, after a couple of days, she said, I would never stop. She makes a turnaround. So she's back to the fighter.
She's tough. I should keep Matt's mom in your prayer. Anyone else have any announcements or prayers? We get one of those days? Wait a minute. I thought we had 364 days. I thought we had the other 364 days. Mom's got the one. We'll hold you to it, don't worry. We also have a lot of travelers right now. We have Sin family everywhere but here except for Becky. Got Honduras, Scotland, and North Carolina. So she's not really sure what to do right now. Anything else? If anybody wants to volunteer to preach or sing next week, please let us know. Otherwise, it'll probably be the guy from Honduras when he gets back. Just gets putting something together about 7:30 next Sunday morning. So if any volunteers, let Becky know. All right, Jerry's going to lead us in our closing prayer.
Please bow. Dearly Father, we are so blessed just to be able to call upon you and just be able to speak your name. We know that from the Old Testament, Lord, that when we see the capital Lord, that we know that that was your name. And Lord, we know that it's closest to what we can understand, that Yahweh, it was your personal name that you gave us because you wanted that personal relationship with us, to know that you are our Father and that you want that relationship with us and that you truly love us and that we could call upon your actual name. And God, we are so blessed by that, and we are so just in awe of everything that you do for us. I mean, it's kind of crazy on just thinking about, you know, that you gave your Son for us while we were still sinners, while we were still messing up and enjoying the world and what it had to offer. You still sent your Son for us. And Lord, we know that because of these things, and when we read through books like James, that your love is just overflowing and just pours out of every page that we turn. Lord, we know that your love for us is great, and that, Lord, that you just put your blessing hand on us. But Lord, we also have a few that are sick and some that are traveling, and Lord, we know that they are on our minds right now, and so we ask that, Lord, that you be with those that are in our number, that are in these situations and that are needing your upliftingness and safety as they travel and as they recover from their sickness. Lord, we also know that just being here with family is a beautiful and wonderful thing, and we are so blessed to have visitors here as well as our normal members, Lord, and we just want to thank you for just the life and just the love that hopefully everyone here feels and understands, that it's because of you, God, that we are able to unite us under your name, Lord. Also, Lord, we ask that you take care of us as we travel out from here, and also, Lord, when we come back, that we can come back and be well spirited and just be able to help out the Reach kids as they come in, and help us, Lord, with our patience, and Lord, give us wisdoms on how to deal with each one. And Lord, once again, thank you for your Son who died on the cross to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.